Hi, I'm Gary Megan, and I do a little show on Podcast One called A Plate to Call Home, and it's about fascinating people all centered around food. This is a show for foodies, but it's more than that. It's a show about the people and the stories behind food. I think you know that I'm obsessed by food. Everything in my life revolves around it, and I love nothing better than to spend a little time talking about people that are equally as passionate, sharing their stories and getting to know what makes them tick. It's called A Plate to Call Home, and it's available on the Podcast One app or on podcastone.com.au.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our podcast, thanks to Distinctive Homes, the biggest single-story display home in the state. distinctivehomes.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, Roo, good morning, good morning. Not a cloud in the sky out there as the sun starts to come up over Adelaide. How are you?
I think we've got 3 days in the 20s. Have we? She's going to warm up a little bit to mid-20s by Friday. Oh. A little bit of rain around perhaps on Saturday, Sunday.
Might get the boardies out today.
Beautiful. Get those white legs out, Dits. The nightclub tan out of the way. Beautiful.
All right, what's coming up today, Roo?
Big Mal's going to join us today, as he does every single Wednesday. So we'll have a chat to Big Mal. Will Anderson's going to join us for a bit of comedy.
Now, I just wanted to, sorry to butt in there. I don't start off on a negative note, but why does development in Adelaide just seem to hit hurdle after hurdle? Nothing's plain sailing here, is it?
I mean, it's a big, big development, I suppose.
Talking about the old Royal Adelaide Hospital.
Yeah, I'm a bit confused about it. I was hoping, like you did, we took phones on this about 3 years ago, it feels like, 2 years ago, about what we should do on that site there to make it a real attraction for Adelaide. Some people are calling it the best development site in Australia.
Might be a bit over the top.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good parcel of land, but I don't know. We're going to try and get Stephen Mulligan on or Smitho on to talk about it, but... giving it back to the parklands doesn't do anything for me. I reckon we've got enough parklands in Adelaide. People are going to be annoyed by that. But
we've got empty parklands.
How's that going to help the city at the moment, giving another couple of hectares of a 7-hectare site back to the bloody birds?
More green grass.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by it.
I don't know if that's going to create too many jobs or do anything for the state, but we'll have a chat about that later on.
All right. We'll find out a bit more about that. And for Crows fans, we've got a little segment coming up today. There's a real good doco coming out about 1997.
Yeah, tonight on Fox Footy, Tom Chadwick, who's an Adelaide boy, has done the 20-year story about 1997 premiership. So we'll have a chat to Tommy later on.
I'd rather watch the test pattern. Anyway, it's Ruined Dits here on...
You might learn something.
Yeah, Ruined Dits here on Triple M, all thanks to Distinctive Homes.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
Through making news around the world, there's been a major earthquake in Mexico City now.
Another
10 million people live in Mexico City, heavily populated. On the Richter scale, I think 7.1. There's widespread damage. No reports of deaths, luckily, so far, but I presume there'll be injuries. But
a
lot of
the
buildings...
But didn't they have one a couple of weeks ago? Big one. Very big one.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
They did.
It was,
yeah.
And often when you have an earthquake, there are follow-ups, aren't there?
Yep.
It does happen. We know that happened in Christchurch as well. Here's CNN reporter Adrian Wilson.
And then I just felt the tremor. But really, I'm a New Yorker. It just felt like a dumpster going over a manhole cover. And then it just kept amplifying, and all of a sudden, I'm in this giant earthquake. It was about 20 seconds, and it just kept increasing up to quite an intensity. All the room was shaking, all the glasses, the doors were shaking everywhere. I don't know if you can hear outside, but there's still pandemonium outside. There's military vehicles around, helicopters flying overhead.
Imagine living in a city of 10 million people, Roo, and then something like that happens.
Yeah, it's pretty scary, especially if you're up in a high-rise building when an earthquake happened. It'd be bloody horrible. So lucky we don't have too many here, touch wood.
Now, Roo, a bit of news out of Melbourne this morning, a bit of footy news that I'm going to hit you with without notice because it's not in our press here.
What? Come on, you can't.
What are you laughing at?
We always talk to each other before we do things like this.
Until it suits me not
to. Have to.
Yeah.
Right. Is Ken Inkley going somewhere
This is
else?
One of those cases. No.
He's three happy more, at Port Adelaide.
Three isn't he? More years at Port Adelaide, thank
That's
you.
That's a four-year deal.
Yeah. Bloody oath. Long term, isn't it? Hey, Roo, it's in the Melbourne press this morning. The mighty Camry Crows are chasing two players from the Melbourne Football Club.
Really?
Petraka and Oliver. Two young guns.
Really? That's surprising news.
Oh, is it? Surprise. Very surprising. Considering you're in charge of football on the board.
I couldn't imagine Petraka would want to leave Melbourne. He still lives with his mum and dad, Dits.
So why would a reputable newspaper like The Age write about this today in Melbourne?
Gee, I don't know. That sounds a bit silly. Petraka is an Italian kid who lives with his mum and dad still. His mum still makes him tea.
Yeah, and so did you in Wakery, and you came to Adelaide. You came to the Big Smoke.
Yeah, but I could not imagine that Petraka would be leaving Melbourne.
Right.
That's just a statement. Yeah. For me.
You haven't exactly sort of, you know, doused the fire.
Well, you know,
have
I can't give a running commentary on things that we're doing. You know that.
Sorry, Rooch. I'm trying to push him. I'm trying to get a headline, but. Rue doesn't rule out. That's what I'd be going with, Rooch. Rue doesn't rule out.
Even if the speculation of yours was right, Dits. Even if it was right, I think you'd find that his manager knocked it on the head.
Knocked
it on the head publicly.
That's pretty firm.
Yeah.
So it was happening.
No,
the
I
manager
don't.
Knocked it. So Crows.
No, I didn't say that.
Let's change that. Crows did chase Petraka.
No.
Crows spoke to Petraka's manager.
Where you got your headline from?
We got days of headlines
coming
out of this.
Where you got your headline from was a bloke on Trade Radio yesterday. And
right.
A lot of stuff gets spoken at Trade Radio that might not be correct. It might be correct too. So you don't know.
Oliver, you haven't mentioned him. You talked about Petraka. Oliver.
Well, I wouldn't imagine he'd be leaving.
Ginger head lad
probably
runs around
best
in the middle.
Why would he leave?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would he leave?
Yeah. Did his manager knock it on the head? Or?
Don't know anything about his manager.
Oh,
gee whiz.
The worst poker player I've ever come across. Yeah,
gee whiz. Righto. Travis Boak's leaving. We've had a crack at Boakey, though.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
What?
No. Come on, dude.
Dope. All right, moving on. Now, you remember the other... Now, I don't want to go back into this because I've had my say on this and I don't want to bore you to death. But interestingly, I just spoke out the other day about the yes and the no vote with the same sex situation.
Oh, did you? Yeah, that was good.
But in this country at the moment, you're only okay if you vote yes, apparently. If you vote no, you're ostracised.
Well, that's the popular vote.
And you're a horrible person.
Yep.
A small business owner in Canberra has sacked a staff member for voting no. So someone's actually been sacked from their job for this.
Well, you can't do that.
And the business owner, his name's Madeline Sims.
What was the reason for getting sacked?
She's listed a whole heap of reasons here.
What's the best one?
It's bad for business. Two.
It's bad for business.
I don't like shite morals. She used another word there. And three, I don't want homophobes working for me, especially in an environment with children. So they do children's parties, I think party entertainment. And as I say, it's a Canberra business. So a young lady working there put online that I'm voting no and for whatever reasons, and she got sacked for it.
Really?
So there you go. Just to add fuel to my little fire.
Might be an unfair dismissal case coming up there.
I think it would be. And she goes on to say, by the way, it's a very, very long thing that I won't read out. But
Does she
says,
have any decent facts?
She says that freedom of speech is there for a reason, and so are the consequences.
So she contradicted herself.
Where's the freedom of speech in that? Gee.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So just repeating what I said the other day. Look, in this country, we're having a vote, and I just wonder why are we having a vote if you vote no, you get absolutely lambasted. It's almost a public stoning if you vote no. So everyone's happy as long as we all vote yes. Mm. That's what seems to be happening, Ruth.
Yeah, it's a bit strange.
It is a bit. Hey, I've got a story about a Playboy. This will spark your interest. A Playboy bunny, a centerfold model, knocked herself out running.
Right.
Because her boobs were too big.
She must be running fast.
Yeah.
That problem at the moment.
This is breaking. That's why I'm interested in this story. This is breaking news. We're going to get to this in just a moment. And you can see the pictures online. Not that I'm, you know, promoting perving, but it's all in the name of. This is our health segment, all right? This is our. No, it is. Mel, don't laugh. It's our medical segment.
How does Tit Shorten go with this one?
Yeah, he struggles too. So we'll be talking breast reductions, I think.
We've got Big Mel coming up later too.
Safe running, it's called, out this next segment, all right? Mm. I'll get out of it now for a dig of massive. Ruined It's here thanks to Distinctive Homes.
Dave Benson, caravan and camper trailers. Begin your voyage and live your dreams.
I only have time for one breakfast show.
Ruined It's for breakfast. The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Oh, once again, another lively, controversial week, Ru. He's never far away from it, is he, Big Mal? Good morning.
Good morning to you, Ru, and good morning to you, Dits, and everybody in Adelaide. It's always a pleasure to meet and greet you guys.
Big Mal, you've defended the no campaign's right to skywrite no over Sydney on the weekend. Now, isn't that sending the wrong message?
Well, no. And by no, I don't mean I'm voting no. Right. Just no. Mm. It's not sending the wrong message.
Right.
I just want to make that clear. I'm voting yes in the no yes and no campaign. The no campaign have a democratic right to voice or skywrite their opinion. Mm. And I like a bit of skywriting on a clear day in the wild blue yonder. It does remind me of simpler times. You know, when you see the plane writing the letters and you think, what's it writing next? Mm. It reminds me of being with my father, Bruce, up the Hawkesbury. Ironically, Bruce died in a plane accident, so they're not all pleasant memories.
No.
But when the vote no sign started to drift, if I turned upside down, rather than vote no, it said onions, which I knew would shit Tony no end. So it was a good day for me.
Right. Hey, what did you make of the NRL results over the weekend, Big Mal?
Well, you know that I'm a Roosters fan, and so now the Roosters play the Cowboys. Now, we are often referred to as cocks as well, the Roosters, because that's another word for it.
Yes.
Now, I was thinking, as a Rooster supporter, if we make it into the grand final, we have to overcome the Cowboys. But if we beat them and really make them suck, do they become a cocktail made out of butterscotch schnapps and Bailey's Irish Cream?
Yes.
You see what I'm doing there? It's a joke. It's like an IKEA joke. I'll give you the pieces. You put it together and make the punchline.
Yeah. Cowboy cocksucker. You're
too quick for us.
Cocksucking cowboys. F*** them all.
Bloody hell. Tone it down.
Are we live?
Yeah, we are.
Bloody hell. You're up and about this morning, Big Man.
Now, what about a bit of light TV during the week? Sophie Monk on The Bachelorette. Will you be tuning into that?
Well, of course I will. Lucy and I like to stay in touch. It's not all chamber music and light opera. And I'm a massive Monk fan, right from the beginning with Bardo on Pop Stars. Yeah. Lucy liked the Ranga, Katie Underwood, but I always had my eye on Sophie Monk, and I like a bit of a bogan. I think all men do, like a little bit of a bogan in their woman. Sometimes I get Lucy to dress in a flanny, light up a durry and pop a few smoke rings, and then she winks at me and says, I'll see you down the pines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I think Sophie will do well, and in her own words, I don't think she'll make a tool of herself.
Right.
Yes, okay. Exactly, Big Man. Right. All right, well, you have a good week, buddy.
Now, before I go, I just want to tell you that I have been singing along to You're So Vain.
Oh,
I,
the
Carly Simon number, because I got onto my yacht the other day and I just started singing to myself, you walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht. And I just sat back and I opened a nice bottle of Molly Duca Shiraz, the best wine in the world.
If you don't mind.
I was just drinking myself, singing along to Carly Simon. Before I go, though, the Crows are into the preliminary final against the Cats. So I want to say the Triple M rocks West Lakes, the traditional home of the Crows.
Good on you, Big Mal.
Good on you, Crows. I know that Christopher Pine's right behind you. He's right here. Christopher, do you want to have something to say? Hi, go Crows. Good on you, Christopher. Thank you.
Thanks. Good on you, Big Mal. All thanks to Dave Benson Caravans out there at Grand Junction Road, Kilburn.
Ruin Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Now, all the Crow supporters out there, Dits, the ones that listen to you, which narrows it
you
down
count
by
on
about
one
80%.
Hey, Roo, look, without tempting fate, and I don't want you to get ahead of yourselves, I'm not trying to, you know, put the mockers on you, but let's hypothetically, I mean, the perfect scenario is that you get through to the grand final for your footy club.
Okay, that's what we're discussing, yeah.
The AFL has already made this call that if, and I'm saying it's a big if, I don't want to put the mockers on you, if the Crows play Richmond in the grand final, you might not be wearing your normal jumper.
No, well, I saw that last night on AFL 360.
This is ridiculous. Now, Roo, it doesn't affect me because it's not my football club, but, you know, there are some people out there who think the jumper is sacrosanct, and I'm one of those. I think you play for the Guernsey, you play for the club, and you get told that you do all the hard work, plus your club finished top, by the way.
Yep.
You get to the grand final, and you got to toss a coin now to see what Guernsey you wear.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, what a lot of people out there would think, well, we've Crows finished top, so they should get to pick their jumper. Well, the AFL in the past have said, well, if you finish top, what you get as a benefit is the fact that you get an extra day's break. So Crows are playing on Friday, so they give an 8-day break. And whoever wins the other game would get a 7-day break. So they see that as a reasonable advantage, a lot more, measurable and than a what colour jumper you wear.
But how does a black Guernsey with a yellow sash on it clash with your red, blue? Yeah. I know there's yellow in your Guernsey, I get that, but it's not predominant.
I'm not real sure on that one. Obviously, they think there's a dead set clash. Obviously, they've had issues with it before to do it. But I would have thought if Richmond, in this case, wore black shorts and the Crows wore white shorts, or other way around.
Vice versa.
They wore white and we wore blue. It'd be enough. But Yeah.
Who gets paid to make these decisions?
I'm not sure, but we have seen bad clashes before when they get it wrong, even when umpires wear the wrong colours with the two competing teams. So I hope they get that right. Me as a player would not worry me what I wore if I got into a grand final. And the players wouldn't be worried about it at all.
No, I know that.
But there are a lot of fans. I listened to Jars on the afternoons when they talked about next year's Clash Jumpers the other day, and he was furious about it. Some people get really, really concerned about those sort of jumpers. I don't worry. It doesn't worry me at all and never has. Yep, you're very strong on
tradition
club with the
culture.
Jumper, yeah.
And I think the jumper's part of that. I really do. Yeah. No matter which club you barrack for, you know, Eddie is super strong on this at Collingwood. They refuse to, have any Clash Guernsey or anything. I think it's unfair, Roo. I think if you get to the grand final, you're told to wear another Guernsey. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but or would you prefer to have a clash?
But it's not a clash.
Well, how do you know that?
Oh, so when you played, remember back, what, you ran out of a pack and handballed straight to a Richmond player, did you?
I tried not to, no. But you're banking on you more than what the AFL of the decision I've made.
We get to sit high in a grandstand and watch games every week. I can't ever say, is that a Richmond player or a Crows player got the ball? Who's that?
Is that because they're wearing Clash jumpers and they've been doing the right thing? Or?
Well, I just don't ever remember it.
Let's not have an argument about it anyway. But I think...
Well, I'm actually going into bat for your club. I think if you end up not wearing your traditional Guernsey, if you get to the grand final, I think it's a disgrace.
What about the decision to do it by a toss of the coin? No.
Look, as I said, who gets paid millions to make these decisions?
Well, Gil McLaughlin was on the 360 and he said last night, it's funny, quite often there's a lot of things decided by a toss of the coin in there, like in cricket they do it, don't they?
Mm.
At the start of a game they do it to see which way you're kicking to. I don't know what other way you could really do it.
So you don't, just finally, my question to you is, you're not real passionate then about your Guernsey. You don't care.
Not on grand final day.
Really?
I'd go nude just to be out there. I'd love to just be out there as a player. Wouldn't worry me if I had a white jumper.
Gee, I'm surprised at that.
No, want to get out there and win the flag.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
Righto.
I'd rather, if I had a choice, I'd have the home jumper.
Right.
No doubt about it.
G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. The Howie Games aims to bring you stories you haven't heard before, like this one from Melbourne Cup winning jockey, Jim the Pumper Cassidy.
I got the grey nurses, the $100 bills,
the big hundreds.
Changed into 20s. So and my mate said, what are you doing that for? I said, I'll show you. So we got back to the hotel room, pumped, took all his gear off, got the Melbourne Cup whip, tipped all the money on the bed. And for 1 hour, I was literally just rolling in cash.
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Ruined It's for Breakfast tonight on the ABC. Roo at 8:30. Gruen. Let's get the man on. Will Anderson. Good morning, Will.
Roo Ditts, good morning. Must be an exciting week in Adelaide. Build-up for the AFL this weekend. I mean, obviously, Geelong have got over their finals fatigue. They're back. Very exciting, boys. The town must be on fire.
Yeah, only a couple of days to go to the big prelim final.
Roo's only been asked for 800 tickets so far from his mates. Yeah, if you can help him out, if you know
it's okay, guys. No one from Geelong is coming, so it's fine.
Hey, what about Jake Stringer coming to Adelaide? Oops, I didn't mean to say that.
It's fine with me, mate. Yeah, if you're happy to have him and you're happy to give us something in return, then we're happy to have him.
You'll have to pay for his bar bill.
Yeah, that might be solid by the
I've got to be honest with you now. It's got to that point now where I'm like, stop telling people he's trouble. We're trying to get good value for him now.
Great bloke. He does heaps of community work.
Yeah, mate. Oh, nothing wrong with him at all.
Really, I mean, good family, man.
To be honest, we only drove him to church on Sunday. So barely been used, to be honest, for the last 2 years since he's All-Australian. So he's still in perfect All-Australian condition.
Yes, exactly right. One lady owner. Hey, what is on Gruen tonight, Will?
Oh, so boys, this might not be your area because, you know... But you ever been on internet dating? Ever been online? Ever seen any of this sort of stuff?
So I know people who have.
Yeah,
it's gone from the sort of, you know, the closet. It was a bit of a dirty secret back in the days, but now it's all on Front Street with Tinder, and the sort of online dating, you know, world has come out of the woodwork, and obviously they're spending heaps of money on ads on telly, so we're going to have a look at that.
Right.
What about all of the, what would you call them? Yuppie's not a word we use anymore.
Okay,
what's the word we're looking for?
Hipsters?
Hipsters.
Is that what you're looking for, dude?
Yeah, all they talk about is, I eat avocado. I'd have avocado on everything. Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing?
Well,
with
I mean,
that?
Here's the thing with avocado, boys. It's everywhere. And don't get me wrong, I love avocado. You know, whack something on an avocado. If you go overseas, the only two things they know about Australia are a crocodile Dundee and smashed avocado.
Smashed avocado.
Like, they honestly look at us like, oh my God, we've been staring at this avocado for years and never thought of smashing it. You guys are geniuses. So we've decided to make an avocado attack ad. We've got our agencies to come up with a campaign to try to get people to hate avocado.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gee,
we think it's
going to
be the hardest
clever.
Pitch. Mm. Well, last week we got them to make ads to get Kim Jong-un not to bomb Australia.
That's right. Mm.
So we had to take it up to an area even harder than that.
Mm. Now, is this your 101st show or your 100th tonight?
It's the 100th, mate. Yeah, right. 100th episode.
You run through a banner?
Yeah. Obviously, you know, I'll bring the kids out.
You need to have a baby.
Brian Taylor will not be happy if you take kids on the show.
I mean, well, BT will be really angry because I don't even have any kids. Wow. So I'm actually going to take his kids out, and they're fully grown. So I'm going to be lifting BT's kids through the banner just to piss him off.
100 shows means life membership, doesn't it, at the ABC or something?
Name on the locker in the green room.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Next to B1 and B2, you know. All the legends of the
ABC. That's right. Hey, good on you, Will. Have a great show tonight. We'll be watching 8:30 on the ABC Gruen.
Always a pleasure, boys. Thank you.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, front page story in the Tiser today. We know that the new RA has opened. What's happening with the old RA?
Well, the developers have been dumped for some reason, and there's talk of a big payout potentially of up to $10 million of taxpayers' money. But I want to know why they've been dumped and what's going to happen at the old Royal Adelaide Hospital site. And we thought we'd get Stephen Mulligan on, the Transport and Infrastructure Minister, to tell us all about it. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Ruan. Good morning, Dits.
Did they get dumped and for what reason?
Oh, well, we didn't go ahead with them as the developer for the site because the money that they were offering for the site we didn't think was enough. We know that... Sorry, you go.
Didn't they say that? Didn't they have that sorted out when they won the tender?
Well, certainly they put in an amount of money which was well above and beyond what the other people were offering. But since we went through a long period of negotiations, some of that money came back, and we did impose some requirements on them. We did say that the heights needed to be limited, that we did need a lot of open space, that we weren't going to offer the land in perpetuity, that we'd only have 99-year leases over the land. But in the end, the amount of money that they offered, we didn't think was enough. And especially when you think that we've got to offer a site which has got all of the buildings demolished, that's been remediated, had all of the hazardous materials away. And in the end, the amount of money they were offering didn't even meet what our investment in the site had to be.
So why wasn't this sort of sorted out when they won the bid? Or why has it taken so long, Steve? Have you guys changed your mind, or have you upped your ante on what you want to get out of the site? Or
no, it's not so much an issue of changing our mind. I mean, if we couldn't reach a satisfactory outcome from the negotiations, if we didn't think we were getting enough for the site, then we always reserve the right not to go ahead with the developer, and we'd manage it in the same way that we've managed the redevelopment of the old Clipsal and Gasworks site at Bowden, or how we've managed the redevelopment of the old Mitsubishi car-making site at Tonsley. So, you know, if a private company doesn't offer enough, then they don't get the gig. And I don't think we could ever be in a situation where just because we enter negotiations with a company, it's a fait accompli for them that they know that they're going to get the deal. Otherwise, they'd always have the wood over us. Mm. So,
is this delayed decision potentially going to cost taxpayers $10 million, though? Like, if this was sorted a while ago, there wouldn't be have to be a payout if that is to go ahead. So is that a fair call? It's cost us $10
million? No, look, certainly they haven't made a claim for $10 million. And the way I read the article in the paper today, it's speculation from the media about what the amount could be. Mm-hmm. We'd always had an arrangement with the developer that if we didn't go ahead and the government wanted to do something else with the site, do it ourselves, for example, that we could purchase some of the work that they put into it, some of the master planning work, some of the urban design work, and that's a live option. In fact, we're indicating to the developer that we're interested in purchasing that, and that will obviously defray some of the costs that they've invested in this, but certainly I don't think we're going to be up for anything in the order of $10 million.
Sorry, Steve, to go through this again, but I am a bit confused. Roo's opening question, you must have sorted out a figure when they came in with their tender. You must have known how much you wanted from them. Clearly something was agreed on. Could they now accuse you, therefore, of have you shifted the goalposts sort of midstream or not?
No, so we had we went through a process where we went out to market. We had over 20 people who responded to that, and we shortlisted down to four. One of them pulled out so that they could focus on what they're doing at the Festival Plaza, and then the other three put in their offers. And of the three, theirs was the highest offer, and it was a substantial amount of money. And we spent over 6 months negotiating with them. And through the course of those negotiations, when we got down to the fine detail of what would be going where and what some of the restrictions on the site were, they reduced their offer.
Right.
And in the end, that amount of money was less than what we have to invest in the site. So so that's why we didn't go ahead with the offer. We think it would look a bit funny, I think, to taxpayers, to say the least, if we spent in the order of $150 or $200 million knocking down all the buildings, remediating the site, getting all the soil cleaned up, and then the amount of money that we got from a developer was less than that. I think people would say, well, what are you doing? You're basically paying a developer to have the opportunity to make money on a government-owned piece of land.
Okay, so if you guys go forward and do the development going forward, there's just one thing that I'm sort of a little bit confused about, and Ditz is the same as me. It looks like we've got heaps of parklands around Adelaide. And I love trees and I love parklands and I love the outdoors and all of that, but I just see that there's going to be another 2 hectares of the 7 hectare site going back to the Botanic Parklands. Do we seriously think we've got enough of that? Don't we need to do more development and create jobs and stimulate the CBD more with this land, or do you really feel a need to give another 2 hectares back to trees and grass and open space?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One is I think we've got to get the balance right. And yes, I think more development in the city is welcome. And this site will certainly contribute towards that. But we're also trying to right what's been a bit of a historical wrong in the past. And that big, I'll be frank, ugly 1960s building, which is on the easternmost side of the Royal Adelaide Hospital site, is one which will come down. And in fact, all of the old buildings will come down except the heritage buildings. But that site there on the east facing the Botanic Gardens, that was actually pinched off the Botanic Gardens, I think, in the 1960s to build that building. And so we're going to give that land back to the Botanic Gardens.
Well, but still, that will mean that we're asking about it, are they?
well, you know what these parklands groups are like. They're always keen for more, and I think in this case that's fair enough. But that also gives us the opportunity to develop the rest of the site. And our vision isn't changing. What we want on the site isn't changing. What is changing though is who's going to manage the development. And rather than give it to this private company, we'll manage it directly ourselves.
All right, Stephen. Thanks so much for coming on to explain it.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Cheers, Stephen Milligan, Transport Infrastructure Minister. So we'll need a committee now, Roo, and it'll take a fair while to decide, I don't know, which plants and which grass do we put? No, seriously. With that land, that when they knock that building down, I don't know, do you go with buffalo? Do you go with cooch? Do you want some Agapanthus in there? What do you want?
Yeah, I know. It's a funny one, isn't it?
It's bigger than you and I. We need...
Les Burnett, that's all we need.
A Royal Commission.
We only need Les.
You think so?
Yeah. Put another oval there.
God.
It's a big site and it's a huge importance to the city to get that right. It's going to be... I don't know, it's going to take a while to sort it out and get it happening again now. But anyway, we'll wait and see what happens.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
7:42, Ruin Dits for Breakfast.
You've had this...
time for me to go and have breakfast.
You hit
actually.
Record for a very long time ago when you first heard about this, Dits, that Tommy Chadwick was going to be doing a 20-year reunion of the 97 Crows Premiership.
Fantastic.
You just could not wait for this to come on, could you? And it's on Fox tonight. Let's get Tommy Chadwick.
I'll be watching the test pattern.
Let's get Tommy on. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me.
How did it all go? You've done a doco on the 97 Premiership.
Yeah, that's right, Roo. So it's a bit of a look back from the inception of the Crows in late 1990 into their first season, 91. A few, trials and tribulations along the way. The 93 prelim, where, of course, The Crows were 42 points up at halftime, ended up losing to the Bombers. Rennie's knee injuries along the way, and then into the arrival of Blighty, and then the 97 season, of course, focusing a lot on the prelim against the Bulldogs, and then, of course, the granny against St Kilda.
Did you have a chat to the great Messiah, Malcolm Blight, and how was he?
Yeah, we did. We headed to, about an hour outside of Byron Bay, spent the day with Blighty. It was great. I mean,
Jeez, I would have had to twist your arm to go up there, wouldn't I, Tommy?
Well, it's funny. We actually, in a two-day period, we actually caught up with Sean Wren, who's now a macadamia farmer just outside of Byron Bay,
wow,
of all things.
He's
and Malcolm Blight, who's about 45 minutes down the road. So both of those guys, in particular in the documentary, are excellent. Rue, you'd know more so than ever how important Blighty was when he arrived at the footy club, and those two guys are excellent in talking about basically how the premiership was orchestrated out of nothing, really.
What about David Pittman? Now, Blighty said called him pathetic, and you know, it was a real personal attack. Now, Pitto's a well-known person around Adelaide from a good background, good schooling, good bloke. How did David Pittman handle that when you interviewed him, and what did he have to say?
Yeah, well, David Pittman, for mine, is basically the star of this. He's a very dry, very funny man. And it took a while to get David Pittman, actually, to lock him down. I don't think he was overly keen to do it. But once we sat down with him and spoke about, in particular, that incident, he was quite candid, and he was happy to talk about it. He does. He looks back at it now, and, you know, he was part of his footballing life. He's obviously moved on. But he talks about it kind of tongue-in-cheek. I'd never actually heard David Pittman talk publicly about the incident, and talks about how during the game he was actually injured, as opposed to...
Right, so he played Malcolm. Injured.
Well, so he in the documentary, he talks quite candidly about nicking his calf, basically the first centre bounce. Blighty took him off, gave him a spray at quarter time. David Pittman had ice on the calf, and then gave him another spray at half time, and then another spray at three-quarter time, and obviously he hadn't played.
Just in case he missed the message.
and then of course, famously, Blighty, in that sort of impromptu press conference with Neil Curley after the match, said that, you know, it was the most disgraceful performance he'd ever seen from a ruckman, and that's gone in, you know, folklore of the club. And then Pitto actually approached him the Monday following, basically saying, "You don't want me in the club, get rid of me." So both guys are really candid about that incident. And Blighty, you can kind of see, he's a little bit contrite about spraying him publicly, but in the end, I guess the proof's in the pudding, and they went on to win the play.
I'm just wondering, did you catch up with Jamie Shanahan? Has he come out of his bedroom yet since 97 or not?
Yes, we did, boys.
Really?
We did. He's moved on from it. He's made peace with the fact that, you know, it was one quarter of his football career. He was a much bigger guy than Darren Jarman, so Darren got him for agility. And I guess looking back, particularly in that last quarter of that grand final, it wasn't Jamie Shanahan's fault that Jars went bananas. It was the midfield's fault, and the wave of ball getting down towards Jarman was just basically unstoppable. And considering Darren Jarman was traditionally a midfielder, and Blighty famously put him forward, he was just too quick for him and too agile, and I guess the rest is history.
So but Jamie's sports psychologist has convinced him of that, then. That's good. That's very good. And what about Shane Ellen, one of the other great stories of that grand final?
Yeah, that for mine is a remarkable story. Obviously, Mods did his knee in the prelim. So if we go to the current day, imagine, you know, the Swans playing in a prelim and Buddy Franklin doing his knee. Mm. And then they go on to win the flag the week later. So Blighty had this masterstroke of having Shane Ellen start off the back. He kicked three goals, I believe, up in his entire AFL career before that grand final. and then came out and kicked five in the grand final. And a lot of the boys talk about just... And in particular, and kudos to Nathan Burke, speaks in this documentary and basically says, look, we'd kind of planned for Darren Jarman to go forward, but we just didn't plan for someone like Shane Ellen to bob up and kick five. And in the end, that was just as damaging.
Don't think you can plan for that.
No, well done, Tommy. All footy fans are going to look forward to watching this. It'll be a real interesting doco. It's tonight, 8 o'clock on Fox Footy, and South Australia's very own Tom Chadwick put it together. Well done, Tom. And interestingly, St Kilda had rarely played in a grand final. I mean, they won back in 66.
Yeah.
And they sacked their coach after losing in a grand final.
Yeah.
Stan Alves.
Funny
got
times.
The
mm.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Roo, we've been talking about North Korea and Donald Trump for weeks and weeks now. And last night, or our time last night, Donald Trump for the second day in a row addressed the United Nations. Now, Roo, the United Nations, the little bit that I know about it is that it was formed after the Second World War to try and avoid conflict of that scale ever happening again. You get yep. hopefully sensible people like we send Julie Bishop over there yep. and hopefully people like that sit around this big room and talk sensibly
yep.
about, you know, the world
issues
and world issues and yep. how do we avoid conflict? Not according to Donald Trump, who marched in there yesterday and said this.
The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
Totally destroy North Korea.
North Korea.
I don't know, but isn't roughly? That a well, it's a very provocative thing to say, but isn't it just an aggressive, stupid thing to say? Especially to the United Nations.
Yeah, but what he's doing is an incredibly stupid thing to be doing as well.
I know, but
not Trump.
I agree.
North Korea, man.
I agree with you. And I'm not naive enough to think, oh, let's all just sit around a table and talk. Sometimes we do need force when there are dictators like Kim Jong-un, you know, in the world today. But I just thought it was, Mel's just told me about 25 million in North Korea. Thanks, Mel.
So they're gone.
Well, totally destroyed. I don't think, again, it's just a naive, stupid thing to say that, well, I'm going to wipe out 25 million people. Or if, you know, if someone was to say that in reverse about the United States, they'd be hell to pay. It's just not good language to use, I don't think. Really. Mm. You don't agree?
What should he be saying?
Well, that's a good question too. I must
because
admit I don't have the answers.
Firing bloody missiles over Japan.
Yeah, I know. Something has to be done, but why don't you ring him and go and see him?
Haven't they done that though, haven't they? Haven't they spoken?
Not really. I don't remember Trump and Kim Jong sitting together. Oh, and maybe that would achieve nothing.
I don't think they'll be sitting
anyway, let's hear a bit more from Trumpy.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States is ready, willing and able, but hopefully this will not be necessary.
All right, and then this morning on Channel 7 Sunrise, our Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has responded.
It's very important that North Korea understands that if it attacks the United States or its allies, as the President said, the United States will respond and respond in a way that would end the North Korean regime. I mean, it is a situation of increasing gravity and risk. And it is vital that the UN, and this is where the President was speaking, increase the economic sanctions on North Korea so that it can be brought to its senses without conflict.
Increase the sanctions? Why haven't they done that already?
Oh, that's the bit that's baffling, isn't it?
Well, ask Julie Bishop about it. It just seems like they're taking forever. They're not taking them seriously.
Yeah.
Is he trying to stir him up, calling him Rocket Man, or can't he pronounce it?
He's definitely trying to stir him up.
Call him Rocket
But on one
Man.
Hand, you know, North Korea's got weapons right now pointed at Japan and South Korea, and then Trump comes in over the top and says, well, you do anything, we'll wipe you out. So, I don't know how this conflict ends. I really don't.
Yeah, well, he's not slowing down, Rocket Man, is he?
No.
He's not listening to anyone.
No.
Let's hope we don't have a big war.
Mm.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined dits for breakfast. We always love it when this man comes bounding into the studio after 9 o'clock, 40 minutes of non-stop. Big Haydos, how are you?
Morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah,
very good, thank you.
Good, mate. Now, hey, tell us about Rock Sport Comedy. What's the situation
geez,
there?
Jeez, mate. It's basically three major prizes in one. I've got to send you off to the Killer's Secret Garage Session. We don't even know where the location
they
is
They don't
here.
Even know where it is.
They don't even know where it is. We'll get you into that. We'll also get your bums on seats, the 2017 Toyota AFL Grand Final. So, sorted. And on top of that, Channel 7's front bar. Mick Molloy, certainly one of our favourites. We'll get you in the audience for their grand final show. Now, while it takes so bloody long to mention what the prize is, how you win it is not long at all. Basically, whenever you hear a Killer's song, call us back with the code word you got from 7 News last night. You're on the standby list.
Fantastic.
It's so big, this bloody thing. Oh.
Gee, there's a lot happening at Triple M at the moment, isn't
there? There is,
very
mate.
Exciting.
There is, but it's back after 9, so any Killer's song.
Mm.
Cheers,
now,
boys.
Now, Iron Haydos, before you go, we love you dearly. You're part of very important part of our team.
Thank you, mate.
And we're concerned. And you know what? You can tell us to butt out and mind our own business, but we notice you go outside every now and then for a dart. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah.
For a smoke?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'll go out for one.
How many do you smoke a day?
Eight, ten, maybe? Maybe even more, depending on how stressed I am.
Right. So it's related to stress, is it?
I think it's just related to filling in time when I've got time between, say, getting off air and got a meeting. What
related to being addicted as well to the cigarettes?
Yeah, without...
How much do you spend a week, do you reckon?
150 bucks. So, yeah. In a
150
month,
a week.
Over half a grand a month. Oh, jeez, when you put it like that.
You're kidding. Anyway, forget the monetary value, which is a concern. If I was spending that much on something per month, I'd like to think it was doing me some good. But anyway, that's just me.
Yeah.
What a wacky idea that is.
Yeah.
I just want to play this. This is a lady, Alana Sparrow from Quitline. We had her on yesterday.
Look, as a reformed smoker myself, I can tell you that giving up cigarettes is an amazing thing. The taste of food gets better. Your ability to run after your children gets better. Everything gets a lot better when you quit smoking. But the reality is that, you know, it is such an addictive substance, and so people need to be ready. It needs to be the right time for them in order to quit.
And she went on to say, I mean, we all know the stats and the figures. We hear it all the time, and we see nasty ads with people with cancer and all sorts of things and ugly photos. But it turns out that everyone around you needs to help. I think it would be hard to go cold turkey on your own, it would be fair to say.
Oh, I've tried cold turkey several times and just fallen off the wagon, whether it's a month or 6 months down the track. But I think, you know, you are around people. You do need your help, because a lot of people around here do pop me. They pop me about the smell. They pop me about not having money
smell
or
like
not
an
being
ashtray.
There, running late.
Righto.
You know, so yeah.
Yeah. So would you want to give up? Would you?
Oh yeah. I don't think there's a smoker out there, as much as they do love smoking, that wouldn't want to be able to give it up. If there was an easy fix, you would jump on it straight away. But the fact is, it's like losing weight. It's hard work. So yeah, doing it on your own, I just don't think I could.
When do you fall off the wagon?
I fall off the wagon either when I'm stressed or literally out of habit. Like, I'll get off air, say, for example, just before one. I know we've got a meeting at 1:05. There's a smoke. Or I'll be in my car. I'll be driving down to the supermarket. I know that is perfectly one ciggy. So I'll light it. Just, it's something to pass the time. And when you reach and it's not there, that's when you get frustrated. That's when you crack. And that's when you go and buy another packet of smokes.
All right. Well, we've spoken to Alana and all the team from Quitline about this. So we're going to, if you're keen, we're all here going to rally around you, Haydos. This is our project.
Come on.
This is our project now, all right, for the next few weeks. And we're gonna run this campaign with you on air if you agree. We don't have to do it. You know what? You can say, no, I'm not interested, and we'll find someone else. But we want to do it with you because we care, because you're a part of our
team. Come on, Haydos.
Look, I will do it. Provided no one takes the mic. Now, bearing in mind...
No, it's a serious thing.
This is... Okay,
there'll be some tough love.
Oh, look, I know there'll be tough love. There's tough love every time I walk out of the studio. But I will say, if everyone is behind me legitimately, that would be great. And it does help that 99% of our workplace is...
We're not going to act. We're going to help you.
Oh, okay. All right. Beautiful.
Uncle
all right.
Rude, Uncle
I can do that. I'll give it a shot. How many smokes have I got?
You
got
to give it your best. How many got left?
Oh, I've got about six on me, so I'll finish those.
Give me a right now. Give me a right now.
No, don't. Oh!
Rue has just ripped them all up into
There's
pieces.
There's tobacco and butts all over. Oh,
Rue, you can't do that in front of him like that. We've got to help him, not bloody...
That's
the first.
That's a bit in your face, actually.
That's the first.
That's actually, as a
six
smoker...
Six smokes are all in a million pieces right now.
As a smoker for over 25 years, that actually hurts.
That's like you tipping a Sauv Blanc down the drain.
All right, so Haydos is on board. This will be good. This will be good. All right, and maybe,
you're on.
No, but quite seriously, there might be people listening right now that can follow Haydos and do the same things we're doing each day with Haydos. Maybe they can follow it too, because that's what it's about.
Should they rip their smokes up now?
Well, if they're inclined to,
they're fair dinkum.
We'll start properly tomorrow because we've got to give people some warning.
Well, don't they start right? You want them to go and buy another packet?
No, I'm just saying though, give people a bit of warning. It's hard those smokes in my pocket. I'll rip them up right now. But if there are people listening, in fact, I can just see people have tweeted right now saying, I'm going to follow this as well. So imagine if we had hundreds of people, thousands out there saying, right, we'll do this with Haydo as well. That's what
Haydo,
we want to
you could
right.
lead South Australia.
Mate, I'm more than happy to do that. It'll probably give me a boot in the bum that I need to get this across the line. So what can we do?
Well, we'll start tomorrow. We'll find out more information,
all right?
Well done, Haydo.
Well done,
mate.
We're with you, buddy. We are with you.
Ruin Ditz here on Triple M.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Homes, the biggest single story display home in the state. DistinctiveHomes.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.